Welcome to day number 67. We are up to Perek Bey's Mishnah Gimel. Now, we learned yesterday, what does it take for someone to shift one status from an Am Haaretz, someone who is not trustworthy when it comes to tithes, to Trumas and Maaseros, to someone who is called a Ne'eman, someone who is trustworthy when it comes to Trumas and Maaseros. And once we discuss that, now our Mishnah today is going to take it to the next level. It's going to say, well, what does it take to become a Chaver, someone who is not only trustworthy when it comes to Trumas and Maaseros, but who's also trustworthy about the much larger and much more complex topic of Tuma and Tara, of purity and impurity, which takes a much higher level of knowledge and commitment. So says our Mishnah, Habakabil alav liyos chaver, one who accepts upon oneself to become a chaver, someone who's trustworthy when it comes to issues of purity and impurity. So now the Mishnah is going to list a whole bunch of criteria. Just a brief introduction, there are two things that's important to know. Number one, an Am Haaretz was always considered Tameh. An Am Haaretz was not concerned about making sure there was Tameh or Tahor. Generally, that only applies to a Kohen, someone who goes to the Mishkan. All of us today are actually considered Tameh. We don't take, we don't worry too much about Tuma and Tara. So a Chaver was, an Am Haaretz was always considered Tameh. That's number one. Number two, in order for produce to become Tameh, it needs to first be eligible to become Tameh. It needs to first become wet. It needs to come in contact with one of the seven liquids that we'll discuss another time. Once it becomes wet, even if it dries later, then it is susceptible that if it touches something that is Tameh, it itself becomes Tameh. But if it was always dry, if it never became wet, so then it doesn't become Tameh. So with that in mind, here are the criteria of what it takes to become a Chaver. Eino mocher la'am ha'aretz lach v'yavish. You can't sell produce to an Am Haaretz, whether the produce is wet, meaning already susceptible to become a Tuma, or yavish, something that is not yet susceptible to becoming impure. Either way, you should not sell to an Am Haaretz. Because again, an Am Haaretz is considered Tameh. The chances are, whether it is already wet or not yet already wet, the chances are the food's going to become Tameh, and if you want to be a Chaver, you cannot cause any produce, any food, to become Tameh. And you're not allowed to purchase from an Am Haaretz anything that is lach, wet, or at one point was wet, because that is already susceptible to Kamal Tumah, which means that because the Am Haaretz owned it, this produce is already Tameh. You're not allowed to purchase that. You are allowed to purchase something that is dry from an Haaretz, because then it never could have become Tameh yet, so you'll be careful about it once you own it. And by the way, we do believe the Am Haaretz to say that this was either at one point was wet or wasn't. Okay. V'le'enu misarech etzel Am Haaretz. You shouldn't be a guest by an Am Haaretz because, again, they're not worried about Tuma and Tara, so the chances are you're going to eventually become Tameh from staying at his house. V'lo ma'archo etzel b'ksuso. And you shouldn't also have him over at your house because there's a halacha when it comes, b'ksuso, if he's wearing his clothing. Why? Because there's a halacha called Tumas Midras. We're not going to discuss it right now. But it's possible that a person's Tameh clothing could transfer Tuma. For example, if you have the Tameh shirt is thrown on the couch, and then someone, let's say Anida, for example, unintentionally sits down on that shirt, you can actually transfer the Tumah. So again, someone who's a Chaver needs to be extra careful about the rules of Tumah and Tara, and therefore should not have someone over in their house who even has Tameh clothing. Those are the general criteria. Now, Rabbi Yehuda is going to add more criteria for what it takes to become a Chaver. Af lo yigada b'hem adaka. A person also shouldn't raise young animals, domesticated animals, because the Chazal say domesticated animals are likely going to graze in other people's fields, and that is considered stealing. So you shouldn't do that. Lo yehe parutz benadarim. A person shouldn't be irresponsible, constantly making vows, oaths, because you're eventually going to break them. Uvischok. It shouldn't be someone who's constantly lighthearted, someone who is constantly making jokes and just living a not so serious life. Lo yehe mitami lemesim. It shouldn't be someone who does not become Tameh to dead bodies. Umishamish beveis medrash. And it should also be someone who serves, so to say, in the beis medrash. Someone who's constantly taking care of the beis medrash, who's serving Talmidei Chachamim, who's serving scholars. All of these criteria are also important, says Rabbi Yehuda, to becoming a Chaver. Now, the first opinion, the Chachamim, are going to say to him, Amrlo, so they said to Rabbi Yehuda, Lo ba'o elu laklal. The things that you just mentioned never enter the klal, never enter the general category of what you're talking about. Basically, they're saying, what are you talking about? Those things have nothing to do with a Chaver. A Chaver is all about being trustworthy when it comes to Tuma and Tara. So anything that has to do with Tuma and Tara, about committing yourself to ensuring that things don't become Tameh, that makes sense that a Chaver would have to do. So you don't become a guest at someone's house and you don't sell them anything that can become Tameh, fine. But what is raising an animal and making sure about stealing? What does that do with anything? What does serving in a base medrash have anything to do with anything? There's nothing to do with Tumah and Tahara, so it's not an issue. Rabbi Yehuda clearly disagrees. Rabbi Yehuda seems to be saying that in order to become trustworthy about Tumah and Tahara, you have to have a particular affect, a particular character that shows that you're even committed to much larger concepts, even beyond much larger beautiful values, even beyond Tumah and Tahara. But Chazal say, no, it is entirely about whether you are careful about Tumah and Tahara. That is Mishnah Beis. That's Mishnah Gimel. Mishnah Dalet. So now we're going to learn about who is responsible. If you have Demai produce, who is responsible to separate the tithes from Denai, the buyer or the seller? Says the Mishnah, Nachtomim. Those were bakers who generally sold to larger crowds. Their profit margin was very, very small in the time of this Mishnah. So Hanachtomim, these bakers, Lo Chivu Osam Chamim Lahafrish, the Chamim did not require them to separate Meisers from Demai, Ella Kedei Trumas Meiser V'Chala, except Trumas Meiser, which is a small amount, one hundredth, and Chala, which is one of 148. So again, it's a very small amount, but they did not require the person to separate the other Meisers, let's say Meiser Sheni, to take it to Yerushalayim. So that's a very, very big burden on the Nachtom. And the Nachtom is making such a small profit margin anyway, so Chazal decided not to burden the Nachtom, not to burden this baker, and instead, the buyer would be required to separate the Trumas Meister, assuming the buyer knew how. If the buyer didn't know how, if you were selling to Nama Aretz, then even the baker would have to do it. But we assume the baker, we do not want to burden the baker, so therefore it's on the buyer. V'achen vanim, the chenvanim are smaller shop owners that had a much larger profit margin. It's funny, nowadays we think it's generally the opposite, that the bigger sellers have a higher profit margin because they can produce en masse, in bulk. But anyway, these smaller shop owners that had a much larger profit margin, in Rishonim Korsa Demai, they are not allowed to sell Demai. They actually have to, they have to tithe it first so that the buyer has to do nothing. Their profit margin is much, much larger. Chazal didn't mind burdening them to do the mitzvah so that the buyer would not have to. Kol mashpiyim b'midah gasa. Anyone who sells in bulk, in very large quantities, rashayim lemkoras demai, their profit margin, again, back then was very, very small. And therefore, Chazal said, you're allowed to sell demai untithed. You can expect that the buyer will do it. Elu hena mashpiyim b'midah gasa. So who are the people who would generally sell at this this much larger, in bulk, really, and therefore be allowed to sell demai without tithing it? Kigon hasitonos umochrei tevua. Sitonos are people who would buy from the farmers then sell to others, essentially wholesalers, and people who would sell grain in general. Those people generally bought, sold in bulk, therefore their profit margin back then was much, much smaller, and therefore Chazal didn't burden them to separate the tithes from Demai. Instead, the buyer would have to. That is Mishnah Dalet. We will continue with Mishnah Hay tomorrow.